Most preachers and religionists speak of the kingdom of God. But just what is this kingdom? And when does it appear? Is it in heaven? Is it the British Empire, the universal church, or the millennium? Is it in the hearts of men, or merely the good within each person? Millions believe these popular ideas, yet they are all wrong. In fact, none of them are even close to right. Unnecessary confusion and disagreement reign because God's word is ignored. Soon you will understand the kingdom of God as never before, and as almost no one else does. Here then is part one of the Bible explanation made plain.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack.
In 1966, as God began to call me into His truth, I had the opportunity to meet with my United States Congressman from Ohio. All applicants to the U.S. Naval Academy were required to have a personal interview with their congressman before possible acceptance. At the end of the interview, my congressman asked if I wished to ask him any questions. Here was a highly respected, longtime member of Congress for 26 years until 1973, giving me the opportunity to ask him any question. I had only one. I was learning about a coming world-ruling supergovernment to be established at the return of Jesus Christ. I asked the congressman his opinion of one world government if it were in the hands of men. His answer was immediate and emphatic. "I do not believe it would work, but if I did, I would shout it from the housetops," he said. He went on to express various concerns. Since that time, more and more people have suggested that one world government is the only way to save civilization. But many questions arise. Who would bring it? What laws would it administer? How would they be enforced? Would sovereign nations relinquish their authority to it? Would it succeed or eventually oppress and enslave all mankind? These questions always stop thinkers, planners, leaders, and politicians in their tracks. Jesus declared, "Repent you and believe the gospel." Before proceeding, we must ask just what is the gospel. Most gospel believers never concern themselves with what it is they believe. The truth of the gospel has remained hidden to the vast majority of professing Christians. Ever since the first century, there has been a conspiracy to deceive would-be Christians about the meaning of the gospel. As a result, most believe the gospel is about the person of Jesus. Certainly, Jesus' role is enormous, but He is not the gospel. The Bible shows that Jesus Christ is preached in conjunction with the gospel. Some others proclaim a gospel of salvation or grace. Still others a gospel of miracles or a social gospel or one about foods or healing or faith. Some talk of gospel music. These are all man-made ideas and not what the Bible says. Notice what Mark recorded. "Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." That is the gospel Jesus preached. It was in this context He said, "Repent you and believe the gospel." What gospel? The kingdom of God. Verse 1 refers to the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ was about the kingdom of God, not something else. One must believe and understand that gospel to be saved. No counterfeit or substitute will do. The truth of this subject is so important that God inspired the Apostle Paul to warn ministers and Christians of all generations. Let's read. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, an apostle or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be," get this, accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, he repeats, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. This is a strong statement. So then, there is the true gospel with all others false. Plainly, Paul never taught a different or additional gospel, as some allege. In fact, God used him to be the one to warn against ever allowing such false teaching. He even pronounces a curse on any man, angel, or even apostle, note the reference to we, who violates this command. A powerful scripture. Paul further explained the apostles were entrusted by God to preserve the true gospel. Notice, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. This is a responsibility not to be taken lightly. True ministers teach what God commands, not what pleases men. Since Jesus said the gospel was about the kingdom of God, and men do not know what God's kingdom is, they have concluded it may be a particular denomination or Christianity collectively, or a warm feeling in the hearts of men, or the millennium or British Empire, among others. Some have even concluded the gospel of the kingdom is not for mankind today. What incredible ignorance! The masses are deceived by the God of this world, who uses his ministers as instruments to spread the most popular false gospel, that of the person of Jesus, instead of Jesus' message about God's kingdom. Paul also warned, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing, or it's not surprising, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." This is a shocking scripture. Satan has ministers who appear to be God's ministers. Paul next describes the work of such men. Notice, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes, speaking of false preachers, preaches another Jesus, or if you receive another spirit or another gospel, which you have not accepted," and it continues, "if Jesus is the gospel, then why are another Jesus and another gospel shown as separate problems? People need to wake up to the deception, the mass delusion of a supposed Christianity that denies virtually all the truths of the Bible. God's plan for mankind is staggering, incomparable to anything human beings have devised to replace it. The world ignores plain, clear, unmistakable scriptures found throughout the Bible about God's kingdom. This series explains the astonishing truth so many ignore. Like a newscaster far ahead of his time, Jesus came with an announcement about a complete change in the way the world would one day be governed. World peace, happiness, harmony, universal health, and prosperity would come. Everywhere he went, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. It was the subject of most of his parables. When commissioning his 12 apostles, he sent them to preach, it says, the kingdom of God. He later sent 70 more disciples, commanding them to preach God's kingdom. Paul preached this same kingdom message everywhere he went. Carefully read this list of verses. The terms kingdom of God and kingdom are found scores of times through the New Testament. Yet nearly everyone has lost the knowledge of and meaning of what this kingdom is. Gospel is an old English word meaning Godspell or good news. So is kingdom, which simply means government. In other words, Christ preached the good news of the government of God. Peace, happiness, health, and abundance would certainly be good news for a mankind that has not known it for 6,000 years. Jesus' disciples asked him what would be the sign of his coming and of the end of the age. First, he warned his servants of future generations that there would be deception from many, he said, who would come in his name saying Christ was Christ, meaning they would put emphasis on Jesus' person, not his message. But he also foretold that, quote, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We are now in the time of the end. Remember, if the kingdom of God had been preached throughout the centuries, from Christ's time to the present, proclaiming it today could not be a sign we have reached the last days. Imposters and false leaders suppressed the preaching of the true gospel until 1934, when Herbert W. Armstrong began fulfilling this prophecy. The restored Church of God is today preaching this gospel, but for only a little longer. When Jesus spoke of the kingdom, what did he mean? The kingdom of God has two separate aspects. Many speak of salvation, the belief in an afterlife. Some have supposed the gospel is exclusively about receiving eternal life, or the popular but unbiblical idea of going to heaven upon death. Of course, the Bible says much about salvation. Actually, salvation is directly related to, is one aspect of, the kingdom of God. The other is about government. When the kingdom arrives, it will be a world-ruling government. The Bible describes this government in detail. Prior to Jesus' birth, an angel appeared to his mother Mary. Let's read. The angel said, you shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. While on trial, Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom, his government, is not of this world. Pilate asked, are you a king then? Jesus responded, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Jesus Christ was born to be a king, but where and over what? Here's what the prophet Isaiah foretold about Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Obviously, heaven is not awaiting either God's government or peace. When Christ establishes his government, it will usher in peace and justice for all nations on earth. David's throne is on earth. The Apostle Peter spoke of when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord here on earth, and he shall send Jesus Christ to earth, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution or restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Of course, heaven has received Christ until this restoration. Imagine, everyone, all of God's true servants have preached that Christ will return to restore all things. Prior to Satan's rebellion, God's government was present on earth. For thousands of years, God's servants have foretold its restoration in detail. I've studied all of the Old Testament prophets many times and seen that each did announce, in one way or another, the coming kingdom of God and restitution of all things.
The world to come will continue after this brief message. Discover more from David C. Pack Visit our website, worldtocome.org. See the World to Come broadcasts. Read and order books, booklets, and articles, all free of charge. To continue learning about the topics covered in this broadcast, visit worldtocome.org today. Now back to David C. Pack.
The prophet Daniel understood the kingdom of God was a literal government that would one day rule real people and real nations on earth. He held no illusion that the kingdom was mere sentimental fluff or a warm feeling in the hearts of men. God used him to explain much special understanding about how and when God's kingdom would arrive. All that Daniel was shown was to be closed up and sealed, it says, till the time of the end. I repeat, we are now in that time, and there are many proofs of this. You will want to read our eye-opening booklet, Are These the Last Days? Daniel understood and spoke the same gospel Jesus preached, and it is critical we understand what he said. In chapter 2 of his book, Daniel was speaking to the Chaldean king Nebuchadnezzar about matters that had come to the king in a dream. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of a vast empire, Babylon, that he ruled about 600 years before the time of Christ. It was God's purpose to reveal, through that worldly human king, that there is an almighty living God who rules the entire universe, and all kings, governments, and nations on earth are ultimately subject to him. The humanly wise King Nebuchadnezzar had no knowledge beyond the existence of other human kings and their many false gods. It was the true God's intention to reveal the existence of his government and that it rules the entire universe. He intended to make plain his supreme purpose of bringing that government to earth in the latter days. This astonishing prophecy details many things about the restoration of his government, including the time sequence for its arrival. The first verses of chapter 2 describe the image of a giant man. The image is constructed in four distinct parts. Verses 34 and 35 then describe a supernatural, it says, stone that smote the image and became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now notice this stone was cut out without hands. This is because God, not men, had formed it. The stone shatters the image and replaces it and goes on to encompass the whole earth. This can only be describing God's government coming to earth, and we will see this more clearly. Again, Daniel is merely announcing the same kingdom message that Jesus preached. You do not need to believe me, because this is what your Bible states in a series of verses no one must interpret for you. Verse 37 plainly states, you, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power and strength and glory. Now verse 38, you, Nebuchadnezzar, are this head of gold. We must always let the Bible interpret the Bible, and this is what it just did. Verses 39 and 40 go on to describe three successive kingdoms that would follow Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. These verses show historic world empires depicted by different metals in the image. These were literal kingdoms. First, the Chaldean Babylonian Empire of gold. Second, the Medo-Persian Empire of silver. Third, the Greco-Macedonian Empire of brass. And fourth, the Roman Empire made of iron mixed with clay in its final appearance. The record from history is that these four kingdoms or empires did rule successively. The fourth kingdom will one more time rule and influence the world just before and up to when God's kingdom is established. God expressly reveals to us now that he is the one who establishes and removes, and establishes and removes again and again, earthly governments or kingdoms. Many ask, but what is a kingdom? Preachers and theologians have tried to spiritualize away the meaning because they have not carefully examined God's definition or what the Bible says. This is found in verse 39, which refers to these kingdoms, notice, which shall bear rule over all the earth. This cannot refer to the nebulous idea of a kingdom in the hearts of men or some kind of church or churches. It speaks of rulership by governments with authority over literal nations and literal people. Will you let preachers tell you otherwise, or will you believe the Bible definition of a kingdom? And remember, these kingdoms bear rule over all the earth. Note two important aspects of the towering image. First, the metals decrease in value descending from the head to the legs and feet. So the quality of each succeeding kingdom or empire is less in value than the preceding one. Second, the metals increase in strength descending the statue's body. In other words, the power and scope of each succeeding kingdom or empire is greater than the one before it. Finally, notice the two legs represent a divided kingdom. The Roman Empire was indeed divided, with capitals of both Rome and Constantinople. The 10 toes are part iron and part clay. Iron cannot mix with clay, so this pictures instability. When the feet break, the entire man will collapse. Careful study must be made of Revelation 13 and 17 and Daniel 7 with Daniel 2. To fully understand the succession of these four kingdoms, together these four chapters present a powerful and sobering prophecy about latter-day events that will affect you and me in our lifetime. This booklet, Who or What is the Beast of Revelation, is vital for you to understand. Something incredible happens in the days of these kings. Christ's arrival removes all doubt about exactly what the kingdom of God is. Also, God tells us when it will arrive. And here it is, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. God will never allow human beings to seize control. Let's continue. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. God, not men, will establish the greatest world-ruling empire of all time, and he will never allow men and their opinions to disrupt it, for it will stand forever. This promise is sure. It will happen, whether men believe it or not. My job is to report it to you, not make you believe it. Jesus Christ was born to be a king, to rule all nations of earth forever with the help of other spirit-composed kings. This is the central theme of the entire Bible. And out of his, Christ's mouth, goes a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And on his thigh is a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I ask, have you been told about these passages? Any of them? I never learned or even heard of them in the church of my youth, and yet here they are, available with unmistakable clarity. We're out of time, but part two presents much more. Do not miss it. In the meantime, you will want to read our thorough booklet, What is the Kingdom of God? You will be amazed at plain biblical meaning almost no one knows. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.